You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
On today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, could this be the weirdest playoff series in NHL history? Be tuned. Season 3, episode 61 of the Bolts Broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Croshaw with you today. Chase, how are you?
I'm doing decent overall. Could be better, could be worse. Sitting here trying to recover from surgery and recording this podcast in the middle of my living room very uncomfortably. How are you?
I am doing all right. You know, I would expect a little bit better than you. And a little bit shocked because coming back from the bachelor party, was feeling a little hungover this morning. But at this point, I'm feeling, you know, completely normal. So I'm feeling a little bit better than expected, I should say.
Yeah, no, that's solid to hear for sure. You know, I didn't know what to expect for you for that bachelor party. You know, I know you kind of didn't know what to expect. So I'm glad that you came out alive.
Yeah, it was one that I was unsure of because it's with my buddy and then basically all of his friends. I didn't know any of his friends coming into it, and it turned out okay. There was a couple of times where I sat on my phone for a little long. Like I think they were playing Mario Kart or something, and I wanted to play Beer Die and then hop in the pool. But they preferred Mario Kart, so I'm like, all right, I'm fine with that. I'll just sit on my phone for like 2 hours because we didn't have enough controllers and everything. So, but other than times like that, it went pretty well. So
glad to hear.
Yeah, not too bad. But on today's episode of the Bolts Broadcast, of course, got to be talking about the playoff series between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Kind of a weird series, and we'll talk about that as we continue on. Currently, Game 4 is going on right now. It is 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday night. So the first period is over. We're up 3-0. You love to see that. And we'll talk about why we started off so hot in Game 4 after we go through Games 2 and 3. So, Chase, we'll start on Wednesday. This was a game that you and I weren't able to cover because we recorded on Tuesday. You were having your surgery Wednesday, so couldn't look at this one, but it was a nice rebound because we did not look good in Game 1. Game 2, we come back, we get an answer.
Yeah, you know, I would say that we definitely looked better in this game, especially when you're comparing to what we put out there on Monday. But yeah, no, it was a good effort where we were kind of really the better team the whole way through. Toronto got a couple late goals to make the game seem a little bit closer and kind of make it look like they're fighting their way back in. But it was 5-1, you know, with less than half the third period left until Toronto got a couple. But yeah, Tampa looked good overall. There's really, you know, no complaints in the game. It was good to see. Good to see Victor Hedman, Corey Perry, Kucherov, Brandon Hagel, Brain Point, those guys getting on the scoreboard, guys that you kind of, you know, would hope would step up a little more, which they didn't really do in Game 1. So it was good to see him step up Game 2.
Yeah, and it was really nice to see the power play actually do something, going 3-for-7 on Wednesday night's game. We talked about it in the first game. The power play was absolutely brutal to the point of we couldn't score a goal on the power play. The Maple Leafs were able to score more on our power play than we were. We took dumb penalties at the end, and it was just overall a bad experience in game one. So coming into game two, seeing the power play actually click a little bit, really nice sign to see. Then we move over to Friday night's game, and while it again just doesn't really work out for Tampa.
It was a repeat of game one. They, again, did not look very good. Toronto looked like the better team, but at the end of the day, it was just a lack of defensive effort. It really felt like to me by Tampa. Just it didn't really feel like they were doing much. How about Vasilevskiy? Didn't really feel like they were, you know, playing their game in their own zone. And then when it came to the offensive chances, nothing was just really kind of bouncing their way. Nothing was being generated. It was just literally like I felt like a repeat of game one. So it was a little scary to see. But, you know, seeing how they, you know, rebounded on Wednesday, you kind of felt a little more optimistic going into game four than you did going into game two.
Yeah, and now that we know it is a 3-0 game in game four, it's feeling really good. And that's kind of where I bring up the fact that this is kind of a weird series because we've got two really good teams. Teams that, you know, were top their division, the second and the third seed in their division. But, of course, a great division and stars just loaded across the lineup for each team. I think it's a little bit weird because first game was just dominance by the Maple Leafs. The second game, Tampa easily looked like the better team. Third game, Toronto again looked great. And now we start off with a 3-0 lead. I think at one point shots were 8-2. Tampa was doing really well. Maple Leafs had a little bit of a surge towards the end of the first, but again, this one just feels like all the bounces are going our way. So it's kind of weird to see games just so one-sided, but going back and forth.
Yeah, it keeps flip-flopping. So, you know, obviously, as we're talking about going back and forth, just alternating games. Games 1 and 3 went to Toronto. Games 2 and 4 went to Tampa. So that's fine. That can happen throughout the series, just up until game 7 where, you know, we need to have two in a row good ones. Because if you can alternate, you know, good game 4, then a bad game 5, good game 6, and 3-3 series going, you know, in the game 7. All bets are off. Things are different. So if it really is going to continue to be this way, which it just feels like it is, sometimes, you know, that's just how these series go. You just got to hope that they can kind of break that spell in game 7.
Yeah, and of course, there's still 40 minutes left in game 4, so knock on wood a little bit there.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully everything continues to play out as it has through the first. Love seeing Steven Stamkos get on the board, and then Pierre-Edward Bellemare and Pat Maroon able to get some goals too. Pat Maroon showing off a little bit of skill there, getting Jack Campbell down on the ground and going around him.
Yeah, it was a really nice effort on that play. Maroon just getting in, you know, getting in tight, getting in close to the net, which is where he does, you know, very well. He's a good agitating type of player, and he's got some solid hands with his roller hockey background. So once he got, you know, in tight, close in front, he was able to make a nice move.
And it reminds me that, you know, Pat Maroon, great player for the Tampa Bay Lightning. His mom, Patty Maroon, a follower of the Bolts broadcast. So we just want to give a quick shout out to all the mothers out there listening. Happy Mother's Day. Happy belated, of course, as this comes out. And, you know, without moms, we couldn't do anything in this world. I know your mom helped you set up the podcast area after your surgery. And my mom, you know, does everything for me. So I absolutely love moms.
Yeah, I got to agree with you 100% on this one.
Couldn't do anything without them. But that's going to do it for our first half of the show. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. But on the other side, we're going to look at some other series around the league. Going to be talking about the officials in Boston. And then, of course, talk about some other player news from around the league. So we will be right back. Hockey fans, the pursuit for the Stanley Cup is on, and the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, has an unbelievable offer for the most exciting playoffs in sports. New customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $100 in free bets, no matter what, win or lose. Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the playoffs? With DraftKings same-game parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets, like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more. It's your shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win and get $100 in free bets no matter what. That's code THPN at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. Of course,
but not shout out to the Toronto Maple Leafs, as I'm cutting you off, because I don't like what they just did to Anthony Cirelli. They're bowling him. They're being very mean. Sorry.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know if you have the game on while we're recording or not, but I've got it on two TVs. One's delayed by like 10 seconds just because I forgot to switch it off this one. But anyway, Cirelli was just kind of going in on it was like a kind of two on one type of play, and then whoever the Toronto defenseman was didn't notice, went down to kind of block his shot and just took him out, and he was on his like neck just slamming into the boards. It was a little spooky.
I can't really see, you know, the TV outside the studio, kind of a hard angle to keep an eye on, so it is on. I'll be able to see for sure if there's a goal scored, but to see 100% of the action, it's kind of tough with the angle it's at, but definitely don't like to hear that.
No, I don't know why that's not a trip, because he makes the play, the puck hits the defender's skate, that's fine, but at the end of the day, the defender took out Cirelli in a vulnerable position where he very well could have gotten hurt. Thank God he didn't, but I'm just a little rattled that there wasn't a call.
Yeah, I was going to ask there if Cirelli's good, so it's nice to see that he got up and he is feeling good. So hopefully the game goes a little bit safer from here on out, and the Tampa Bay Lightning still able to take it home. But, Jace, let's talk about some other series around the league. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start in the East? Do you want to start in the West? What are you thinking?
Yeah, let's start in the East. Might as well. We're already here.
All right, well, let's talk about that Carolina-Boston series first. Why don't we? So this was one where, you know, the first two games, Carolina was looking real good, and now Boston, they've found a little bit of a bounce back with Brad Marchand putting up 5 points in this most recent game today. Series is now tied 2-2.
Yeah, and they looked good in this game, that's for sure. The Canes, they looked solid. You know, Antti Raanta found a play back in the net today after Peter Kochetkov ended up starting a few, and you're going to want to turn into your TV. Make sure to be looking out for that, but that's for you, Mike.
Thank you.
And yes. Anyway, the Bruins have looked a lot better in these last couple of games and really putting up a good fight, making for a hell of a series. It's been very entertaining. Even though our Tampa series has been a little disappointing with our losses, I think that this Lightning series has probably been my favorite one so far. But if I had to do a second, I got to say it's this Boston-Carolina series.
Yeah, I really like watching Carolina and how they play. And the fact that Boston's been able to bounce back, and Brad Marchand, of all people, even though I don't like him coming out and having such a huge game is exciting. It's really good for the series.
Yeah, I agree. It's really incredible what he's doing. He just keeps getting older and just keeps getting better, so it really is incredible. And it's just what he does for that team, it's really unmatched by almost anybody else in the league.
Yeah, well, we're talking about a little bit older guys, a little older players, so let's continue with that topic with the Pittsburgh Penguins. We know Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, the bloodline that runs through the Pittsburgh team. They currently lead 2-1 over the Vezina favorite Igor Shesterkin and his New York Rangers.
This has also been a super entertaining series. Shesterkin has a tough one last night, ends up getting pulled, and the Rangers make a good fighting effort to try to come back and win the game. But that has also been a super entertaining series. So maybe, I guess, after I'm thinking about it, maybe I think this one's a little more entertaining than Boston Carolina, but nonetheless, it's been some pretty good hockey, especially in the East so far. That series, Shesterkin's played relatively well, except for really the last game, and I really won't really put it on him. He just kind of just got put in unfortunate situations, didn't really get much help, and New York kind of struggled, but Pittsburgh's looking pretty good. Game four is at home. You know, they have the 2-1 series lead. They could be in a position where they could put New York in, you know, a really bad spot if they can come up with a win here, game four on Monday. But it's been pretty entertaining so far. I've really got no complaints yet from this playoffs.
Yeah, and my 5-game New York prediction already out the window with Pittsburgh getting 2 games in hand already. But yeah. I think the one thing that really separated Pittsburgh in that third game is the first two games the Rangers started with a lead. They came out hot, and Pittsburgh had to retaliate. Even though Pittsburgh looks oftentimes like the better team on ice, they were always down. Game three, they come out hot, and they get the early lead. I think at one point they're up 3-0 or something like that, and then New York had to respond. They eventually do. I think they made it 4-4, but then Pittsburgh kind of ran away with it to make it a 7-4 victory for them. So that's one thing I'm keeping an eye on when it goes to game four is Pittsburgh going to keep the pressure on like they did in game three, come out hot, or do they got to fight back again? And right now, from fighting from down under, the Penguins are 1-1. So,
yes, sir.
Washington and the Florida Panthers. This is a series I was kind of hoping for a little bit more out of. I feel like out of the four series we have here, this is probably the least exciting out of the East.
Yeah, it's kind of Florida Panthers' fault. I was kind of hoping they were going to put on a little more of a show, but instead of Washington is up 2-1, and it's not because Washington has been like super exciting to watch. They've just kind of played better as Florida's kind of underwhelmed. And I talked about this before during the season. I don't know if it was actually on the podcast or if it's just a conversation you and I had, but I kind of felt like they were starting to make too many moves and like there was just being too many roster changes. And it very well could be the case. You want to bolster up at the deadline the best that you can, but if you bring in too many guys, you make too many changes, it changes up, you know, the chemistry in the room, it changes up line chemistry, it changes up those types of things. And that could be what's happening with the Florida Panthers. I don't know. It's still a 2-1 series. They still got, you know, up to four more games to come back and win this. I'm not counting them out by any means. I would still think that if I had to bet on one team to win in that series, it would be the Panthers because they're just the better team. But Washington's definitely held their own a little more than I thought.
Yeah, and the Panthers came out and said, we're just looking to be us in this game four, and I just don't know if that's an excuse or if the Panthers actually tried to do something different coming into the series. Like, you're the number one seed, you won the President's Trophy, why would you try to change it up for your first round matchup?
Yeah, that's a problem that some coaches do, especially inexperienced coaches. You're gonna want to watch your TV again, Mike. but it's something they see inexperienced coaches do going into playoffs is they make changes, and you don't need to make changes. If it worked for you for 82 games, then what's the point of changing it? Stick with what worked.
Yeah, I agree. Well, just in case you guys couldn't tell, currently 5-0 for the Tampa Bay Lightning, yeah?
Yes, 5-0.
Yeah, it's still 4 for me, but it's going to tick over here. Very soon, I'm sure. So, nice little start to the second. We talked about the great start to the first, and now 5-0. Is Jack Campbell pulled at this point?
He's still in the net as of right now. I got to imagine that he's going to be pulled here after this one.
Yeah.
They're taking a little bit of time to drop the puck. So I don't know. They haven't showed who's in net yet. So maybe he's still back there. Nope, Jack Campbell's still back there.
Okay.
Which he's played terrible in this series. I know I got to shout out game one, but he's played terrible other than that. He does not look good.
Yeah, that's a goalie that we're giving a lot of praise around that December-January mark, talking about how this is a guy who's been really under the radar, a very good goaltender over the last couple of years. And after we do that, he starts to just falter. And towards the end of the regular season, he wasn't playing great, and now this series you see the same.
Well, I knew that we were going to be playing him, so I was setting up the jinx pretty early.
Oh, okay, that's smart. That's 5-head right there, my guy.
That's like 11 head.
That's fair. All right. Well, let's now talk about the other side of the bracket. We got the West. Why don't we start with the series that is going exactly how we expect it? And that's Colorado and Nashville.
3-0 Nashville. It was nice that you even tried.
All right. Next up, we got. Yeah.
But really, what else is there to say? Connor Ingram, he's playing hard, you know, when he's had it going nut, but. Like it's just two completely different teams, even with, you know, we might as well mention it here. Darcy Kuemper took a stick to the eye very aggressively, ended up getting pushed back like by the stick through his eye, like a good 3-4 feet into his net. So he definitely, you know, it was a very scary moment. But from what I heard, he's okay. So that's good to hear. Mm-hmm. But even with him not playing, like, it still didn't matter. Francouz played well, and they just couldn't compete.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's not talk about the Wild and the Blues. This was one where the Blues got the early lead. The Wild come back with two straight. And now the Blues tie it up with a 5-2 victory on Sunday night.
Yeah, and, you know, I was hoping this one's going to go a little bit better than it has so far for the Wild. At least it's 2-2, and, you know, they've still got fighting chance. So I was hoping that the Wild could maybe have a 3-1 lead here at this point because it's a team that I definitely am rooting for. But St. Louis is playing well. Jordan Binnington got his first playoff win in his last 10 starts. So he went ahead at 0-9 stretch going into this one. So he's obviously struggled a little bit, but they had Huso playing at first, playing relatively well, but it was definitely time for a change as he let up a few two-week ones. So it's been a solid series, not something that's been like overly entertaining in my opinion, but it's been good. I like seeing the guys in Minnesota, like the Kaprizovs, go out there and play, but it's not been like some sort of world-breaking series for me.
I agree, and Matthew Boldy gets his first ever playoff goal in the NHL, so congratulations to him. Another young, bright player they got over there in Minnesota.
And I don't know if you noticed, by the way, though, the Maple Leafs are absolutely falling apart because the fifth goal was scored on the 5-on-3, and then like 30 seconds after it was scored, they took a double minor for a high stick to, I don't remember who it was too. I was kind of missed it. I think it might've been Nick Paul, but he was just leaking. So now they had to kill that 5-on-3 again. And now they still have 3.5 minutes left on the power play.
Yeah. This one, I don't want to say it, I don't want to jinx anything, but, I think you know where this is going. So, it's going to be very exciting to now just come down to a 3-game series.
Oh, that's soft. We got a trade penalty. Sorry.
That's tough, but you know how it goes when you go 2-2 in a series. It's just a reset, so you're down to 3 games, and whoever wins 2 is going to be victorious. So let's hope that that can be the Tampa Bay Lightning. Chase, let's go down to the last 2 series we've yet to cover. That's between Dallas and Calgary, Edmonton and the LA Kings. I don't really know what to say about these two. I guess we'll start with Edmonton-LA because I feel like this one might be over now. Like, LA showed some fight in the first game, but they really haven't had any answers over the last 2.
Yeah, I mean, LA was able to squeak out a win based off of effort. After that, it's just been all Edmonton. It's really not even a series. I don't think LA has a chance to even, like, only lose by a goal at this point. I think the next two games are going to lose by 2, 3, 4 goals. Like, I think it's that over.
And now we're looking like assholes because LA just pulled off a crazy 7-4 victory on Sunday night.
Oh, imagine.
I think it'll be a safe 3-1 after tonight. But, I'd like LA to win, but the lack of answers they've had really scares me. Calgary and Dallas, though, this is one I was really pulling for Calgary. It's not really worked out in their favor up to this point. Dallas up 2-1. They had a big win yesterday, 4-2. Like, I'm just worried for Calgary. It might be the same old Flames.
Yeah, it's weird. It's been a really low-scoring series. I mean, there was 2-1. Like was there 2 goals scored the first 2 games, right? They were both 1-0 games, weren't they? But anyway, nonetheless, it doesn't matter. Jake Andrews played well for Dallas, and the guys that for Calgary that you hope would be scoring, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Lindholm, they're playing okay, but they're not really. I mean, I should not say Tkachuk is playing. Tkachuk's playing terrible, but like Gaudreau and Lindholm, they're playing okay, but just not doing enough. Fun fact of the day: Matthew Tkachuk has 6 points through 19 career playoff games, so he is clearly someone that you think, he's built for the playoffs. He is not built for the playoffs. He's struggling. He gets too sucked into the game. He tries drawing penalties. They're trying to push at the end of the game to score a goal, try to get back in the game, and he's too busy trying to, do stuff in front of the net. So he gets sucked into the heat of the moment too often, and it's pretty clear in these playoffs so far. So that's not good for Calgary, a team that I was hoping for to have a little bit of success. We could see a good battle of Alberta, but right now it just looks like Dallas is going to squeak this one out.
Yeah, and for through three games, I should say, Calgary has 3 goals. Dallas has 6 goals. So when it's 2 goals for per game and 1 goal for per game, that's not exactly a series that super entices me. So that's not one I've kept an eye on. Even though I am pulling for Calgary, it's just at this point, it's getting hard to watch.
I agree.
All right. Well, that is the little peek at what other series are doing at the moment. Let's go back out to Boston, Chase. Talk about the officials.
Yeah, and I meant to mention this actually in the series review or whatever, but kind of forgot, slipped my mind. So in this same game, I want to say it was game 2, maybe it was game 3. I don't know. Regardless, so 2 officials in Boston. One was the actual on ice official, got taken out by the ice crew. The ice crew was just pushing the trash bucket right into the dude and just trucked him over. It's like, how the hell does that happen? So that one was a little funny, lighthearted, got up just fine. The second one that was a little more scary was after a Boston goal. Pastrnak scored to make it 3-0, I believe, and fans were pounding on the glass by the penalty box. And sure enough, the glass came out, ended up falling on the penalty box attendant, the guy who was also the commercial TV timeout coordinator, and it knocked him out cold, and they had to end up stretchering him off, you know, a little bit scary situation. And really, I don't understand. I'm not a big glass banger by any means. I don't really understand the reason to do it. It doesn't really get in guys' heads like fans think they do, especially banging on the glass in the penalty box when there's nobody in the penalty box. Like, yeah. After they score, so they just bang on it there, and it just falls on the guy and hurts him. Like, it's not going to do anything to help anybody's case here. Like, I'm not a big fan of this. It's probably time that the NHL starts cracking down on this and starts kicking people out of arenas for banging on glass.
And when I look back on the video, obviously hoping and praying for the absolute best for the penalty box attendant, but like when you're looking at the video, he saw the glass was coming down. He kind of, covered up a little bit. And so I thought nothing would have happened. And then I heard he got stretchered. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, the video does not do it justice, I guess, because I didn't think that it was going to be much of a bump, but it sure was.
Yeah, he got knocked out cold completely from what I heard, so it's scary. But he's at home, he is resting, and hopefully he'll be all right. No issues, hopefully no concussion, nothing like that.
Yeah, that's good. Now let's talk about Marshawn. He gets a $5,000 fine.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I don't even remember exactly what this is for. I think it was for a cross-check. I don't remember on who, but I did see that it happened, and it's not that surprising. I'm not really for suspending guys in playoff games unless it's something really bad. So just do you know, just dish out the fines if it's what you got to do. But if, you know, something egregious happens, then sure, suspend him. But even with Marshawn being a repeat offender, like, he didn't do anything that was just like crossing the line. Not, you can't do that. So it's fair. So, you know, fine is what it is. And he got to keep playing. Obviously, had one hell of a game.
Yeah, and I searched it up real quick. It was $5,000 for slashing Pyotr Kochkov, the goalie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right.
But I looked up Marshawn, $5,000 fine. That was the first one. The second one was Brandon Prust got fined $5,000 back in 2015 for spearing Marshawn. And he was quoted saying, "That's the best money I've ever spent." What a guy.
I remember that, actually.
What a guy. So just funny. You know, so funny. And I feel like at that time, too, back in 2015, Marshawn was just the rat, the player no one liked, because at that time, he wasn't blowing up on the stat sheet. He wasn't that great player we know he is now. So even better for Prust there.
Yeah, he was starting to become that guy, but he really was just kind of like that bottom six, middle six, piss you off type player. So yeah, it was really before his superstar days for sure.
And finally, Chase, let's talk about the draft lottery. That is this Tuesday, not that Tuesday, but this Tuesday.
That Tuesday.
That's what I'm going to be looking forward to, obviously.
Yeah, it's always fun to see what happens, especially with what's going on this year. You can only move up 10 spots, and so only the top two teams, that means, have a chance, or like top two picks have a chance of becoming like lottery picks. So if you're picking, so it's one through 11, is then you have a chance to move up to the first overall pick. If you're picking 12, you can only move up to two, and then 13, 14, 15, and 16, those guys can move up, but they can only move up to 13 to 3 or 14 to 4 or whatever. So it's gonna be a little different this year. It increases the odds for the worst teams, which this year a couple of those worst teams definitely need it. You know, the Montreal Canadiens, the Arizona Coyotes, the Seattle Kraken, those teams really need those higher picks. So it's probably for the best, but I still got a feeling that we're going to see at least one team that has come out of nowhere. Someone that's picking in like that 9 to 11 range is going to move up to number one.
Yeah, I'm sure hoping so, because going into the past couple of draft lotteries, there's been that excitement. This year, I am not as excited just because of all the rule changes they've made. I liked the three teams. I liked the possibility of the 13th, 14th, and 15th team getting the first, second, and third picks. That's no longer the case. So I get it, but at the same time, it kind of brings less excitement when it comes to the actual event.
Yeah, sure it does, but it definitely makes more sense on trying to not give away. You know, when you got a team that's really struggling and struggling to find their identity, like the Coyotes, if they end up just missing out on picks number one or number two or number three, whatever it ends up being, that's kind of tough for them. It's hard for them to recover. So, like, I get it from both aspects. You know, I definitely am more of a fan of the worst teams having better odds, but I'm also kind of not against everybody having, at least some sort of odds.
Dude, I don't know what you're talking about, because the Arizona Coyotes, their identity runs straight through Arizona State's ice arena. Like,
oh yeah, that's yeah. Right. How can I forget?
Of course, the multi-purpose arena at Arizona State.
That place is gonna be going so crazy when they only sell 2,000 seats in the $4,500 venue because people aren't paying $90 per ticket to go see the Coyotes.
Yeah. So the Coyotes are expected to get that second overall pick as of right now.
Yeah.
I wasn't quite sure where they were sitting.
They can only drop to four. In a draft class like this, it's better off in a class like this for them, where if they're going to move down, to be honest, they'd rather not move down next year if they're a bad team again, because much better prizes at stake. Whereas this year, sure, if you miss out on Shane Wright, that sucks. But you could really make an argument that the guys in the 2 through 7 range are all somewhat similar value.
Chase, any predictions on who that 9 through 11 team might be that jumps up to the number one?
So I don't know who's exactly in that range right off the top of my brain, but I really, I think they're eighth currently, but I do kind of have a feeling that the Detroit Red Wings are actually going to move up this year. They haven't moved up in quite a few years. They've been moved down every time. I got a feeling they're going to move up. I don't think to first. I think they're going to move up to second.
Okay. That's an interesting one. I would bet against that just because of their past, results. And I don't really believe in, luck going both ways. I think you either just get screwed and move on, or you get lucky and just keep getting lucky. Detroit, they've always been screwed. I don't know if that's going to be the case. But Buffalo is that 9 team, Anaheim 11, or Anaheim 10, San Jose 11. So those are all teams that Chase is looking at that possibly could move up. I'm just hoping it's not like Ottawa.
Yeah, if one's going to move up in that range, I want it to be Buffalo, honestly. Because especially with next year bringing back the black and red jerseys, I would love to see some talent out of there.
Yeah, Ottawa, New Jersey also, they got Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier. I don't really think that they deserve another first overall pick.
And I don't know if you saw this, but they so Tom Fitzgerald, the GM, made a statement saying that they would be willing to trade their first round pick and for an immediate impact player, which I heavily disagree with that, especially if they end up moving up at all. You can't do that because they are not ready enough to do that.
They kind of need a goalie over there.
Yes, they definitely do need a goaltender, but unfortunately that is also not the year for this.
What if they just trade the first overall pick to like Florida for Sergei Bobrovsky?
That would be really random, and I would be heavily against that because that just means it's going to make winning for the frickin' state of Florida even harder for Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. But I'm just trying to think of teams that have multiple goalies that would be willing to get rid of one. I feel like Florida would be interested in letting go of Bob, especially if it was with that price with Spencer Knight backing him up.
Hear me out. Okay. Brian Elliott.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you should have thought about that one.
Yeah, my bad. All right, well, that's going to do it. We're going to move on to hockey name of the day now. Ender off with Corentin Cruchando. Cruchando. Okay.
Quarantine Cruchando.
Like quarantine, like COVID.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So quarantine over here. He's a 23-year-old Frenchie playing in the French 2 League currently. For Dunkirk, I don't know how it's pronounced, nice. Or something like that. I don't know, but he played some games in the top league this last season in France, but he'll be in the French 2 League next year. Didn't really play any international games for them or anything like that. Just kind of, your run of the mill average European pro player.
And it reminds us of the, I was going to say good old days, but quarantine wasn't necessarily the most fun.
Reminds you of the old days.
Yeah, there we go. Reminds me of the old days. Perfect. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Bolts Broadcast. Want to thank you so much for coming out. And Chase, we'll hit you with an outro.
All right, as always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us on Patreon, support us over there. We'd really appreciate it. If you want to follow us on Twitter at Bolts Broadcast, it's at Bolts Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. Make sure to go to HockeyPodcastNetwork.com, find all the podcasts in the network right there. Boom, click the logo. Listen, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Wherever you're listening, you can rate us 5 stars. Send us your questions, comments, concerns. Really appreciate it. Wherever you do, use code THPN. It's time for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.